we celebrate Jesus. Oh, celebrate Jesus. 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 I keep saying this. There are days when the rhythm and everything doesn't disturb you. There are days when you just speak on what is said in the song. The name is healing. The name is life. The name shines through every darkness. That name burns like a fire. So it means that there is a description to every situation in your life. Can somebody celebrate that Jesus? Choir, thank you for that song. Thank you so much. This song really brought life into my spirit this morning. There was so many trouble in my heart this morning when I woke up, but this song just changed everything. I was really troubled, but this song, God bless you. God bless you. God, can we celebrate that one more time? Quickly before we sit down, we did Romans 10 from 5 to 10. Can we have from 11 to 17 now? Romans 5, 11 to 17. Thank God. Quiet, you may take your seat. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Romans 10 from verse 11 to 17. We did 5 to 10 during the Bible reading, right? Now. Okay. Oh, just start from 10 again. Start from 10. Start from 10. Romans 10, 10. Can we read together as a family? One, two, go. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Sorry, please. Hold on. Please, can you give me King James? Oh, okay, let's go on NKJV. No problem. Don't mind me. A sister say King James is scary to read. So let's go to NKJV. One, two, go. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Next verse. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Next verse. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all who call upon him. 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. Now, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Last verse now. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can you just lift up your hands and bless the name of the Lord for this scripture? Ask that God will speak to you in this few moments, that let him alone speak to you in the name of Jesus. Blessed be God forevermore. Blessed be God forevermore. Thank you, Father. Speak to us expressly as a family and speak to us as individuals, oh God. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can you celebrate Jesus even as you take our seat? Amen. People of God, we've been looking at faith as the core of our study this month. And I want to tell you that faith is the central currency of the kingdom of God. Faith is the central currency of the kingdom of God. There is nothing that is received from the kingdom of God without faith. Am I communicating? It means that for God's goodness, God's protection, the healing from the throne of grace can never come to you without faith. So it means that faith is the currency to which you transact with God. And we said in the scripture in Romans 11 from verse 6, it says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is Hebrew, I mean. Hebrew 11 verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And people of God, listen, anywhere you see faith in the scripture, remove it and put Jesus there. Because believing in Jesus is faith. Am I communicating? Believing in Jesus is faith. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Can I have that? Can I have Hebrews 12 verse 2? It says something. Hebrews 12 2. Looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was sent before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. People of God, listen. It says Jesus is the beginning and the end. That is the author and the finisher. Am I communicating? So it means that everything that God wants to do to you has to come through Jesus. And believing in Jesus is faith. That is why we say faith in the word. So for in other words, faith in the word here. The word here means Jesus, right? So we are talking about faith in Jesus. And so today we are going to be looking at a very core part. And it's called seven most important things about faith. The seven most important things about faith. Amen. Faith is not a mystery. Faith is not something reserved for a free or for a few. It is a spiritual law that works for everyone who understands how to apply it. So, people of God, when you see a miracle in the life of somebody, it means that that person has learned how to apply the word of God, which is in other words, Jesus, into a situation. Now, it is how you understand that, how to fix Jesus in that present situation, that is where your faith lies and that is where the healing comes from. Am I communicating? Point number one, seven most important things about faith. Every believer has faith. Point number one, every believer, you may write this down, every believer has faith. Romans 12, 3. Romans 12, 3. Romans 12, 3. 3, 3, 3. Romans 12, 3. It says, for I say, are we there? Yeah, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. People of God, you have a certain measure of faith. So you cannot tell me that you do not have faith. We say faith is Jesus Christ, right? You cannot tell me that you have Jesus Christ and you don't have faith. Because if you believe in Jesus, believing in Jesus is also faith. So everyone is given a measure of faith. You cannot wake up one day and say, I don't have faith. People of God, that will be a blistering lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. This means there is no believer who is faithless. You don't get saved without having faith. You believed with your heart and confessed with your mouth, and you were born again. That is what it means. So for you to have confessed and be born again is faith. So never say that I don't have faith. Faith is not my gift. People of God, never say that. There is no scripture that says faith is a gift. There is no gift of faith. There is nothing called the spirit of faith. Mba, nothing like that. Faith is application of the name of Jesus. There is no gift called faith. There is no spirit of faith. It is given unto everybody free of charge. You don't visit faith occasionally. You live by faith. You live in faith. You dwell in faith. Everything about your life is faith bound. Point number two. Your faith can grow and be increased. Point number two. Your faith can grow and be increased. And we get that in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. And also 2 Corinthians 10 verse 15. Can I have 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3? We are bound to thank. Please change it to KJV. Move it. Sorry. What we're used to. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. Good. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it meets, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of everyone, my concentration, people of God, is that what he says, that your faith groweth exceedingly. So it means that faith grows. People of God, can I reveal this to you? The more you know Christ, the more your faith is growing. The more you believe in Jesus, the more you believe in the word, your faith continues to grow. So people of God, your faith can grow and be increased. So you don't see somebody's faith and you say, my faith no reach there. Your faith can reach. Your faith can grow only if you give it chance to. People of God, the Bible makes us to understand there are different kinds of faith. So you permit me, I will just list them. I will not explain much. I will list them and give the scripture sake of our time. Okay? The scripture tells us of things like little faith. Little faith. You'll find out in Matthew 6:30. Right? Then number two, you have what is called great faith. You also find out in Matthew 8 verse 5. Great faith, Matthew 8 from verse 5 to 13. Great faith. We also have what is called weak faith. Weak faith. That is Romans 4 verse 19. Romans 4 verse 19. Weak faith. Then we also have what is called strong faith. You find strong faith in Romans 4 verse 20. Strong faith. We have what is called unfeigned faith. Unfeigned. Feigned is U-N on then F-E-I-G-N-E-D. U-N-F-E-I-G-N-E-D. Unfeigned faith. You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Alright? Then we have what is called rich faith. Rich faith. It is found in James 2 verse 5. Rich faith. James 2 verse 5. We also have what is called overcoming faith. Overcoming faith. You find that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. Then there is what is called fullness of faith. Fullness of faith. That is Acts chapter 6 from verse 5. People of God, if you check all this faith, it is all found in the Pauline epistles. And so there is one that sits in the life of Paul. It's called shipwreck faith. Shipwreck faith is the faith you stand even in the face of death. The whole life of Paul, that is the example of his own. Shipwrecked faith. So all the Pauline letters talk about it. So that's why there is no singular particular scripture for it. It's called a shipwreck faith. This man then flog him 39 strokes three times. Am I right about 39 strokes three times? And their beating is not police, our Nigerian police or army beating. It is brutality. It is maim somebody. That was what they did to him three times. He entered ship capsized at the high sea. How many times? How this brother swam to the seashore? Only God knows. In the face of death, his faith was unwavering. People of God, it is the same thing I saw in that brother, that when they kidnapped him and they told him to renounce Christ, they say, renounce your Jesus. He said, you know that I cannot do that. The guy stood on his ground. He stood that despite the fact that I am at the face of death, he told them, you know I cannot do that. God, what kind of faith is that? I was watching this video. People were busy pitying the guy. Me, now that thing where he talked, as far as I'm concerned, that was what brought him out. He said, he is telling them to agree with him that you know I cannot do that. What kind of a faith? Tied and was beaten, wounded, beaten at the point of death. He stood his ground on faith. Oh! If it were some, and not all of us here, not any of us here. If it were some, they say, I renounce him. Even the father's son, I renounce. Because you want to live. At the point of death, he could not throw his faith. He could not change his confession. That is shipwrecked faith. Amen. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. So, under this faith, it is comfortable with the word it is written. That is this shipwreck faith. It is very comfortable with the word it is written. So anytime you want to address that kind of faith, you just tell the trouble it is written. That is a shipwreck faith. Even in the midst of that trouble, you are confessing to it. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but everything. It is written that the righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It is written that I shall not die, but declare the name of the Lord. It is written. That is what shipwreck faith stands for. But how does this faith grow? It grows by hearing the word, acting on the word, and staying consistent in the word. Point number three. Real faith or Bible faith is of the heart and not the head. Real faith or Bible faith is of the heart and not what? The head. We'll find that in Romans 10 verse 10 and also Proverbs 3:5. Romans 10 verse 10, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can I have also Proverbs 3:5? It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own what? Understanding comes from the head, but trusting in the Lord, having faith in the Lord, comes from where? The heart. Amen. Listen, Bible faith is not head faith, it is heart faith. Head faith depends on what it can see. Head faith depends on what it can see. It says, seeing is believing. That's the cliche they always like to use. They say, seeing is believing. But look at it. Heart faith depends on the word of God. Heart faith depends on the word of God. It is saying, believing is seeing. This other one says, seeing is believing. Heart faith said, believing is seeing. So how do I see in the realm of the spirit? Through what? Heart faith. Glory to God. Thomas said, except I see, I will not believe. I must touch the hand. I must put my hand inside where the nail passed before I believe. You know what Jesus said at the end of that scripture? He said, blessed are those who do not see, yet they believe. Ah! So it means that your believing brings the blessings. People of God, head faith will tell you Nigerian economy is this and that. Head faith. But do you know what the heart faith tells you? The word says, I shall not beg for bread. I have a God who is my sustainer. I have a God who I dwell upon. People of God, that is when the faith is coming from your heart, not your head. I want you to notice something here. You may have doubt in your head, but if you have faith in your heart, your faith will still work. I want you to note this point. You may have doubt in your head, but if you have that faith in your heart, your faith supersedes that thought. It will work for you. Hallelujah. Point number four. Faith will not work maximally without love and forgiveness. Faith will not work maximally without love and forgiveness. People of God, can I have Romans 5 verse 5? Romans 5 verse 5. Oh, Father, thank you. Romans 5 verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, you see this thing? The love of God is shed across in our hearts, right? The same thing like faith. Faith is shed unto us, right? Now, can we jump to, what's this, my second scripture again? Ephesians 4 from verse 32. Ephesians 4 from verse 32. This is quite a good one. We're going to read to the next chapter. And when ye, and be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. People of God, go to the next verse. But can I add something? You know, when we say, Father, forgive us our sins, trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, that thing is not actually correct. Let me tell you the truth. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. People of God, if God was to forgive you based on the way you forgive, God will never forgive you. You know why? Our own forgiveness has limitation. God's own does not have limitation. So it is reducing the forgiveness of God. If God was going to use your forgiveness as a yardstick, he will never be merciful unto you. Anyway, I said, no, we have not got it to 33 now. Huh? Okay, take me back there. Huh. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, for even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Next. 5. Yes, chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Next verse. And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Wait a minute, hold it. There is a translation that says, when God wants to heal you, you see, be careful with the doctrines you have. Some of us say, if you do not repent, God cannot heal you. People of God, that is not scriptural. That is not scriptural. God has given us for himself an offering of as a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. People of God, no matter what you do, the mercies of God supersede. Do not think that when somebody is sick, you will not say it is because he has sinned, like the story of Job. That means he's not. No. Never you say that. I think I'm missing one more scripture. Faith does not function properly in an atmosphere of unforgiveness. You cannot walk in offense and expect your faith to produce result. Why? Because faith works by love. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. This means you already have the capacity to love and to forgive. Can I have Luke 17? Luke 17 from verse 1, I think. Luke 17. Let's start from there. That is a point I'm looking for. Luke 17. Wow. Luke 17 from verse 1. Luke 17. Oh yes, I love this. Then said he unto, that is Jesus now. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Next verse. I'll give you this, all these ones in NKJV. I think we need to understand this very well. NKJV. Beautiful. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they come. They do come. Next verse. It will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should should offend one of these little ones. Next verse, we're reading to 7. Next. Take heed to thyself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, what? Forgive him. Now, go ahead. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall what? Next verse. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. People of God, mark this very well. He is talking about unforgiveness, Rabbi. He's talking about unforgiveness. Now look at the question the disciples now ask. Increase our faith. Then his response said, 6. Listen to his response. So the Lord says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mobile tree or be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it will be. People of God, wait. I thought he was talking about unforgiveness. How did unforgiveness now turn to faith? Listen to me. Your faith is measured by the level of how you can forgive. I say it again. Your faith is measured by the level of how you can forgive. Listen, how can I say I have faith in you and then I say I cannot forgive you? How? People of God, he was talking about unforgiveness. The disciples caught the rema and said, oh Lord, increase our faith. And then he turned from unforgiveness and said, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Last verse, 7. One more point there. 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending a sheep, will say to him when he has come from the field, come at once and sit down. Okay, let's stop at 6. People of God, this is the point I'm trying to make to you here. You cannot grow in faith with unforgiveness. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Love cannot dwell where there's unforgiveness. And the same Lord that shares that love also attaches faith to it. So every one of us is given a measure of faith. You cannot tell me that you have never passed through a door in your life. Can somebody tell me that? You have never passed through a door in your life. It's impossible, because entering this hall alone, you pass through a door. Am I communicating? So you can never tell me that you've never passed through a door. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the door. I am the door. You all pass through Jesus. So if you pass through Jesus, you have a measure of faith and a measure of love. So if you plant unforgiveness there, you have killed the two. Somebody say you have killed the two. In essence, what are we saying next? He said, that means you already have the capacity to love and forgive. It says, be tender-hearted, be forgiving, be a lover. The revelation here is that when you begin to forgive by faith, your faith begins to grow rapidly. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a decision of faith. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting your neighbor to die. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting your neighbor to die. If you do not forgive, it kills. The person you refuse to forgive is going his own way, doing his things. You are the one that is dying of various levels of cancer. You are the one that is being eaten up. People of God, let it go. Point number five. Faith must be released with words. Faith must be released with words. Mark 11:23. Faith is voice activated. And so Mark 11:23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, it didn't say whosoever thought of this mountain, whosoever thinketh of this mountain, no sir, it didn't say whosoever sees this mountain, it said whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. People of God, faith without saying is useless. Faith without saying is useless. It is not enough to believe. You must say it. You shall have whatever you say. That is what the scripture tells us here. People of God, I want you to know this. Thinking faith is not releasing faith. Saying faith is releasing faith. Thinking faith is not releasing faith. Saying faith is what releases the faith. What you believe, say it over and over and over again. Did you notice the life of Jesus? Jesus was always saying, I am the tree, the vineyard. He was always saying about himself. He said, I will die. I will lay down my life. I will die and I will resurrect on the third day. If he had not said it, some scholars say, if he had not said it, maybe it wouldn't have happened. Unless maybe because he is God, then it will happen. But even him that is God was saying it even before it happened. How can somebody say he will die and rise again on the third day? I think I remember a story of one of our so-called greats, one of the so-called prophets, who said he will die and rise again. My people, I don't know what happened, but I know on the third day, the lightning will strike him inside that coffin. No, be here. This lightning from up and scattered him into pieces. People of God, it is only God that says it and it shall happen. It is when you believe in him that I've said it and it came to be, that is when you will have it. You must say it. Your words set traps for you. Proverbs 6 verse 2. Your word set traps for you. You know what kind of trap is that? The traps of favor, the traps of good living, the traps of everything. He say you are snared. That means you are trapped by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. People of God, listen. You are trapped. Can you give me another translation that talks about trap or something there? You are snared. It means you are prisoned by the words of thy mouth. And you are caught up by the speech of your mouth. People of God, the reason why that you see limitations in some life is because you have limited yourself. You have caged yourself with the word that you speak. Faith speaks, but it speaks positively according to the word of God. Your words create outcomes. Your word establishes realities. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. A silent mouth produces a silent destiny. Speak your destiny. Speak yourself into that destiny in the name of Jesus. Speak your healing. Speak your breakthrough. Speak your future. Always speak to it. You see why we say, when you are giving your offering as a seed, speak to it. Are you now seeing the reasons? Number six. Faith works by saying and by praying. Again, faith works by saying and by praying. Mark 11:23-24. And then James 5:13-16. I might not read all those scriptures for the sake of our time. But I want you to understand here that faith operates in two dimensions, saying and praying. Now, your saying can also mean praying. Am I communicating? So you are not just saying it because you want to say it. You are saying it prayerfully. Knowing that it's Christ that will do it all. So you are saying it prayerfully. Amen. He said, but even when you pray, you must still say. The truth here is that faith receives what grace has already provided. Faith receives what grace has already provided. So if you don't speak it, you can't have it. Grace has finished the work. Faith brings it into manifestation. Grace has finished the work through Jesus. Then faith brings it into manifestation in your life. It becomes active in your life. That finished work of God becomes active in your life through faith. Can we jump to point number seven? Last point. Your faith will work for you and sometimes for others. Your faith will work for you and sometimes others. We look at the story of Jairus. Who came? He said his daughter. He said your faith has healed. People of God, do you know what it means to stand in the gap for somebody? It means you are using your faith on behalf of that person. So it means you have grown your faith to a level that your faith does not only cover you, it covers others. But through spiritual understanding, it can also work for others. That is faith. Jairus used his faith for his daughter. The noble man used his faith for also his son. People of God, listen. You are responsible for your faith, but your faith can extend to your family. Your faith can extend to your loved ones. Your faith can extend to situations around you. But don't forget, you are responsible for your faith. Conclusion. Faith is not complicated, but it is precise. You have faith. Your faith can grow. Your faith is of the heart. Your faith works by love. Your faith must be spoken. Your faith must works in prayers. And your faith produces results. People of God, in closing, I will say this. Why don't you speak to your own faith and say, I have faith? Why don't you speak to your faith and make boast that I have faith? Why? I know who is the Word. I know who is Jesus. I have faith. Why don't you speak it into your life? Listen, speaking I have faith should be your prayer point. Can we stand even as we pray? Can we rise? Even as we pray.